Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today, we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we've been studying 1 Corinthians chapter 13 over the last week or so, and we saw that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has given us all kinds of spiritual gifts, right? These spiritual gifts are helpful for us because they help us to serve the body of Christ, to help us serve our church family. They're important. They're very special. They're good for us. But we also saw that no matter how well or how fully you use your spiritual gifts, if there's not one important ingredient, and if it doesn't do what it was designed to do, it's basically meaningless because it doesn't do what it was designed to do. So the question is, what are our spiritual gifts designed to do? If I were to take this box and describe it as a spiritual gift, what makes this worthwhile? What makes this valuable? Is it the box itself? No, it was what it was designed to do, which is to deliver love, right? This is what love is, just like this. A little peaceful phone right here, right? That's love right there. As we deliver love, God gives us our spiritual gifts to do that very thing. When we use our spiritual gifts well, they deliver love well, right? So this brings us to another important question. Well, what does love look like? When we use these boxes, when we use these boxes to deliver love, and the person who receives when they open the box and when they see what's in it, what do they see? What does love look like? And that's a very important question, isn't it? And it's a complex question because love is very complex and deep, isn't it? How do you describe love? Love is not something that's very easy to explain or even visualize. What's really interesting is sometimes when you're thinking of love right now, what does love mean to you? And when you think about that, often, the visualization, the concept of love that you have right now is actually only a fraction of what love means as a whole. Let me explain what I mean. The feelings a mom and dad have for their child and the things that they do in response to that, how they care for them, how they nurture them, those things, the feelings and their actions, the things they do and the things they feel come from that thing we call love, right? It's also the same for the child. But the child's feelings for the parents are a little bit different than the parents' feelings for the child. And the things that the child does to express those feelings and to express those things are also somewhat different from what the parent does for the kids. And yet those same feelings and those same expressions come from this thing we call love. That intimate, romantic feeling and the expressions of those feelings that a man and a woman have for each other, those two, although different from mom and dad or the child, those two are things that come from this thing we call love. But also, so do the deep bonds of friendship that two kids can have as they grow up together, that camaraderie, that brotherhood, that also comes from this thing called love. Each way feels different. Each way is expressed differently, and yet in each case, in all the different ways. And those are just a couple of them that we mentioned. There's so many ways that love can be felt and expressed. And yet each of it comes from that source, that thing we call love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we find a very beautiful way to describe love. It takes all those expressions of love, it takes all those feelings and all those ways that we express love and how love in the person interacts with one another, and it takes that and puts it in a beautiful collage that all put together gives us this beautiful picture called love. And sometimes, it's really good, sometimes have you ever tried to describe something? This is a such and such, right? This is a such and such. But just it being a such and such doesn't really help us to understand it better. But yet when we say, well, this does this, or this does that, then we say, oh, okay, now I know what you're talking about. Well, this is exactly what 1 Corinthians 13, this passage that we're going to be getting ready to look at, that's what it does. It doesn't just say it's this, but it says it's this in this context, or it does this. It doesn't do this, but it does do this. He does those things. It shows love in action. And that's actually sometimes a lot easier for us to understand it. So let's take a look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. We'll read through the whole passage, and then we'll go back up and look at what those different expressions, those different love in action looks like. Verse 4 says this: charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So what do these simple word expressions actually mean in life? As I was studying this, I noticed something about the connection that these expressions of love have with each other. I think the best way to describe it is love in context. When love is displayed in around a certain situation in life, when love is displayed in a certain area of life, this is what love looks like. So let's go back to verse 4, and we'll see, what does love, first of all, what does love look like around someone who might be irritating to you? Do you have somebody who can be a little bit irritating to you at times? Somebody who's not easy to be around because of the things that they say or the things they do, maybe their personality, maybe their attitude? Love looks like patience here. Love suffers long. It's that willingness to not be frustrated or annoyed, even when that happens over and over. That's what charity suffereth long is talking about. Man, when somebody's driving you nuts, right? It could be a brother, it could be a sister, it could be a husband or wife. Hopefully not, but it could be a husband or a wife. It could be anybody, a coworker, a student, another student. It could be anybody, right? Love looks like patience. It's being willing to not be annoyed, being willing to suffer long. Patience is what love looks like as it receives frustration or frustrating things from others. But here's the thing. Love isn't just passive. Love isn't just passive in the fact that it's willing to receive irritating aspects, willing to be patient during this. Love is also very active in how it is displayed, because love doesn't just suffer long, it's also kind. Think about when that person is having a bad day and they're extra difficult to be around. Love looks like active kindness toward that person. Love doesn't ignore. Love doesn't avoid that person. Love actively looks for ways to help them, to encourage them, to make them feel better. See, love isn't just patience. Love is patience and kindness. being willing to endure suffering, but also being willing to act on, to look for ways to help and comfort that very same person. Do you see how that works together? Let's take another example. What about when in life, when things go well? Sometimes things go well for others and not for you, and sometimes things go well for you and not for others. How do we display love in that kind of a situation? Well, charity envieth not. When things go well for someone around you, and they get praise and they get recognized. Oh man, that's amazing. You're so cool. You're so awesome. And we see that. We know that we put just as much work in, but we tend to get ignored, or we tend to get forgotten along the wayside. Guess what happens? Love looks at that person's success and chooses to find happy satisfaction or even joy in their success, even when that doesn't reflect on you. Love chooses not to envy. But sometimes things go well for us. When that happens, love chooses not to boast. Charity vaunteth not itself. It chooses not to boast. When things go well in your life and you experience something good, love looks like a thankfulness for what it receives, but also recognizing that there will be others around you that will have not received this kind of blessing. And so it looks outward, looks toward others, and it doesn't have to draw attention to your own success. It looks to others. It doesn't have to have others look back at you. See the connection there? See, when some things go well, you look at others. Oh man, that's great. When things go well for you, you still look at others and don't boast about it. Don't brag about it. What does love look like when we see ourselves and others as people? What does love look like when we see ourselves and others as people? One, love is not puffed up. It's not arrogant. It's not proud. When you see others around you, how do you see yourself compared to them? Love chooses to see themselves in humility. Love chooses to see themselves in humility. It chooses to recognize and affirm that all that I am and all that I have is only because of God's grace in my life. I can rejoice in the Lord. I know it doesn't come from me. I know it comes from my Heavenly Father, and I'm totally satisfied and happy in that. I know that it's not me, but it's God. It's not arrogant. Is not proud. Verse 5 continues this flow of thought. Doth not behave itself unseemly. It's not rude. And this is how we see other people. Because this is actually important. How do you see others around you? Love chooses to see each person who is created in the image of God. And love chooses to never look down on someone else. And they choose to use words and actions that display God's love toward them as those who are created in His image. They choose not to be rude or mistreating those around them. Doth not behave itself unseemly. What does love look like in relation to my goals and plans? We all have goals. We all have plans. We all have things. Do you have a list of things? You get, man, when I get up, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. I have life plans. Oh man, by the time I'm such and such years old, I want to be able to do this. I have these things I want to do and things I want to accomplish. Are you like that? What happens? Sometimes our plans are massively huge. Sometimes they're just like little 5-minute plans. Oh, in the next 5 minutes, I really got to make sure I got to get to church on time. Ah! You know, that kind of thing, right? Sometimes we're trying, there's aspects of life where we have massive goals or short plans. Love isn't self-seeking, seeketh not her own. Love chooses not to let those plans get in the way of caring for those around them. Love doesn't seek what I want. It doesn't seek myself. I am not the priority of my life. My plans aren't first. Love chooses not to make his plans the priority over others. Do you see that? But also, sometimes other people's plans get in the way of our plans. What do you do then? It's not easily provoked. Doesn't get irritated when that happens. When other people's plans get in the way of my plans, love chooses not to be irritated by that. And that's hard sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes it's not, it's really, on the outside, you're like, oh, sure, no problem. But on the inside, you're like, argh. Ah. When that happens, love chooses to be calm, unbothered, when things don't go my way, when things don't go according to my plan. Love is willing to step aside for others. Okay, well, what about this? What about when somebody does something wrong, hurtful to me? What if somebody does something to really mess, like hurt my feelings, to really cause wrong toward me? Love thinketh no evil, doesn't keep track of wrongdoings. You know what? In your life, you are going to be hurt. It's not about if, but about when. Someone will hurt you. When that happens, usually, sometimes, and actually a lot of times, it's usually done by someone who is actually close to you. Someone who is close to you. Love chooses not to keep track of those hurts. Love looks like forgiveness. Love chooses not to say, you know that thing you did 5 years ago? I haven't forgotten that. And I'm going to bring it up right in the middle of this argument just to let you know that I may have forgiven, but I have not forgotten. You know that feeling? You know that response? No, love chooses to keep no track of wrongdoings. It thinketh no evil. That's how I'm wronged, how my response is. Love, that's love's response when I'm wrong. But what about when others are wrong? What happens when other people are deeply affected by wrongdoings? Verse 6 shows us something very interesting. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It does not find joy in iniquity. When others are hurt by other people's sins or by their own sins, love looks like sorrow. Love looks like sorrow and grieving for them. Love doesn't find joy in wrongdoing, the wrong that people do. Love chooses to look beyond the wrong and see the effects of the wrong, the bondage that wrongdoing produces. Wrongdoing produces bondage. Love sorrows in those who experience the bondage of wrongdoing. But what does bring joy to love is when truth is sought after and found. When truth is sought after and found. Love chooses to see the effects of truth in this person's life and the life of those around him. Even if sometimes truth can be painful, sometimes it is painful, but love sees the effects of truth, the freedom that comes from truth, and finds joy in that. Wrongdoing, it grieves. There's no joy there. There's no joy in wrongdoing and iniquity, but there is joy in truth because of the freedom that comes from truth. Verse 7 describes what love looks like consistently in a relationship. What does love look like consistently in a relationship? What does it look like in my relationship and how it's expressed in those toward those around me? It's something that love doesn't stop doing. It just keeps doing it, keeps doing it, keeps doing it. And in doing so, love, this aspect of love, makes the relationship stronger and stronger. So let's look at it. Verse 7, first thing is beareth all things. Beareth all things. Love is there to support the other. It bears the other. It bears all things. It's by their side. ready to encourage in difficulty, ready to lift up after a fall, ready to help carry a burden. Love is there to help bear, all things. Good times, bad times, it's there to help carry, to help support the other. But also, love believes all things. Love believeth all things. Love doesn't quit believing in the other person. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. It doesn't matter how many times you mess up. There's always that belief that I believe in you. I trust in you. I'm not going to give up. I'm not letting go of you. I'm going to keep believing in you. There's that faith, that trust. Love doesn't quit believing. But also, another interesting thing is love hopes. Love hopes all things. This is interesting. When love looks at the other one in the relationship, it sees all the possibilities. Sees all the possibilities of that person. He sees the other person. Love sees the other person with hope and expectation. When he sees them, it's always looking up. Oh, I can't wait to see what God's going to do in your life. Oh, I can't wait to see how well you're going to do in this. Oh, it's going to be so exciting to see what you do and what God does through you. It hopes all things. It believes all things when you fail, but it hopes all things. It sees the possibilities. And lastly, it endures, endureth all things. Love doesn't give up. It doesn't give up. It keeps going. In good times and bad, love is there. In times when life is hard and full of struggles, love doesn't quit. It is already decided that it will be with you to the end. It endures. And this is how love consistently displays itself in relationships. This is a brief glimpse into what love looks like. In each case, in each different situation, we get a brief snapshot. Oh, this is what love looks like in this context. Oh, but it also looks like this in this context. Oh, but this is how it looks like here. What about relationships? Here are some ways that love looks like and what love does in relationships. Each individual snapshot gives us a better understanding of what love looks like in its fullest and complete form. And it's amazing. There are two things I want you to see about love. The first one is this. We often think of love, and especially 1 Corinthians 13, when we talk about this passage, it often deals with like family relationships. Like 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 is like the default verses for a wedding. Man, this is what love is looking like. Husband and wife, this is what love looks like. Live this out in your life. Or in families, mom and dad and brothers and sisters and families. But what's interesting is to remember what actually 1 Corinthians 13 was meant to be written to. Who was this verse? Who was this passage written to? Wasn't husband and wives. Wasn't mom and dad and their kids. It was written to the body of Christ. The church family. Paul says, guys, as you live as the body of Christ, and as you deliver these spiritual, use these spiritual gifts to deliver love, this is what love looks like. This is how it's supposed to look like in the box. When they open it up, they should see patience. They should be encouragement. They should see hope. They should see a caring. This is for the church family. It's what love looks like and how we, as a body of believers, live together through life. These images are for us to walk in love with one another. That's good help, isn't it? It's a good reminder. Yes, love your wife like that. Yes, love your husband like that. But also remember that mainly this passage is written for your brother or sister in Christ. Secondly, the more we see what love looks like, the more we see how precious and amazing and wonderful love is. If this is what love looks like, I want more of it. I want more of it. I want more of this kind of love in my life. Don't you? Sometimes I look at these things and I'm like, man, okay, maybe I do this pretty well, but boy, I don't know if I do this very well. Oh man, this one hurts a little bit because I know this isn't in my life like it needs to be. When you read through that, did you have that? Maybe it's like, you know what? I got that one down. I'm good. If you are, praise the Lord. But here's the question. If you're like me, you want more. You're not satisfied with where you are. You want more love in your life, both to experience it and to express it. But how do we do that? Where does love come from? What is the source of this love? How could we have this kind of love? The truth is, it doesn't come from me and it doesn't come from you. This love can only come from God Himself through His Son, Jesus. Read with me 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and verse 11 says this. Herein is love. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Hold on there for a second. If God loves us this way, if this is where love comes from, and this is what God does for loving us, then this is how we ought also to love one another. But the question is, yeah, I fully believe that, but how do I do that? I want to love one another the way God loves me. I want God's love. How do I do that? How do I get His love, and how does His love help me to love others? Verse 15 is amazing. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, basically, whoever puts their trust in Jesus, something amazing happens. God dwelleth in him, and he in God. The source, the very source of love. The Bible says God is love. The very source of love dwells within you. And out of that source of love, Christ in you flows out, both fills your life and flows out of your life, this love. Verse 16 says this, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Why? God is love. We've experienced it by faith. We have experienced this amazing love because God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. This is our source of love. How does our love grow? How does our love mature? How do we grow in being able to love one another? This is it. Dwell in God. Spend time with him. Verse 17. And herein is our love made perfect. This is how our love matures. This is how our love grows within us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, as God is, so are we in this world. This is how you grow in love. This is how you experience love to the fullest. God loves you in an amazing way. And you experience that love. The first step of the experience is faith in His Son, trusting His Son. And then as you experience His love, you begin to express it more fully and more completely in your life towards those around you. Just like these images, these brief snapshots of love that we have experienced and seen through 1 Corinthians 13. All of this points to Jesus. All of what we've read in 1 Corinthians 13 points to Jesus. This is how Jesus loves you. If you read through 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 again, you know what? Let's do it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. read it this way, not how should I love others, but how does Jesus love me? Jesus suffers long. He's patient. Oh, praise God for that. He's kind. He's kind to you. When you are annoying and you're having a bad day and you're telling and letting everybody know, His kindness comes to you. Charity doesn't envy your successes. Jesus doesn't envy your successes. He's all for it. But He doesn't vaunt Himself. He doesn't show His pride. He's not proud. He's humble. He's meek. He's lowly of spirit. Jesus doesn't have to puff Himself up. There's no need for that because He's looking on you. All of these are outward focuses. If you read through this, they're all outward focuses. They're not central focuses. They're outward focuses. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. You see Jesus being kind and tender to those who others would never be kind or tender to. Seeketh not her own. It's not His plans. That His plans are for you. His plans are for you. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Praise God for that. He doesn't remember our sins. Our sins are remembered no more. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. It does not bring Him joy when wrongdoings happen. If there is one thing that He doesn't rejoice in, it's that. When other people are doing wrong to other people, and there's that bondage, that enslavement, and He calls that out. That's not right. You shouldn't do that. Anytime you see Jesus being grieved and angered in the Bible, it's because other people are doing wrong things to other people. Because that should not happen. But He rejoices in the truth. Because the truth is what frees people from that bondage. Praise God for the love that Jesus has. Man, go home today. Reread this. Reread this passage. God, thank you so much. Those of you who have trusted Christ, praise Him and thank Him for the love that you get to experience because of who God is. And then abide in your Father. And let that experience of love flow out into expressions of love towards not just your husband or wife, not just your children, not just your mom and dad, brothers and sisters, but also to your church family. Because this is what this passage is designed for. And this is why you have the spiritual gifts that God gave you to love. To love. Let's pray. Oh, Father, the more we study your word, the more we understand who you are and also who we are in you, the more we see the blessings, the grace that you consistently bestow on us in order to not just live life in our future, our eternal future, but also living life here and now. How you have given us life now to live these things out and to experience these things in the way that you have planned and designed. Thank you. Help us to have our thoughts focused first on you. First on you. Help us to abide in you. Help us to experience the love, to know that it's there and to see it and to recognize it and to find the joy in it, the peace, the satisfaction that comes from knowing that God, the Creator of all things, has chosen to adopt me as His child and to give me His love forever and ever and ever. And as one who is loved by God, who is experiencing that love now, and that experience will never end for eternity, help me to grow more and more in expressing that kind of love in my life. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for accomplishing this amazing, amazing work on the cross for us to be able to experience it, but also in enabling us to be able to display that kind of love to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to those around us. Help us to do that more. Grow the love in us, please. In Jesus' name, amen.